This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Anyone who's been paying attention to the plight of bees knows that our planet's most important food pollinators have been in trouble for a while. Massive bee die-offs were a mystery for years until studies found that a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids were to blame. Identifying the source of the bee deaths should have been the end of the problem, right? But not when corporate power wields undue influence over our government. Now, a new report by the group Friends of the Earth has found that, quote, the pesticide industry has weakened and delayed pesticide reforms and is shaping new pollinator protection, quote unquote, plans nationwide that do little to protect bees, but a lot to protect industry profits. Joining me on Skype today is Tiffany Fink-Haynes. She is the Food Futures Campaigner with Friends of the Earth, and she's the co-author of the new report. It's entitled Buzzkill, How the Pesticide Industry is Clipping the Wings of Bee Protection Efforts Across the U.S. Welcome to the program, Tiffany.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So first, tell us a little bit about what exactly pesticide companies are trying to protect. Are they insisting that they need to keep using this class of pesticides that has been proven to be dangerous to bees?
So the pesticide industry, in combined revenues, makes over $115 billion every year on the products that they manufacture. And so our new report really documents the tactics that they are using to do everything in their power to continue to protect their profits and delay any sort of restrictions at the state or federal level that would work to take those pesticides off the market.
So they basically want to simply spread it out as long as possible, presumably because they feel like they've invested a lot of money in this industry and these pesticides, that they want to keep producing them. They want to keep getting as much profit out of them as possible.
Right. So there's a class of pesticides, as you said, called neonicotinoids. They're the most widely used insecticides in the world. One of the neonicotinoids called imidacloprid that they manufacture is widely used, and they make millions, billions of dollars off of it every year. So the pesticide industry is using a number of tactics, including lobbying. They spent over $30 million last year in the U.S. to lobby at the state and federal level to keep their pesticides on the market. They're really utilizing the revolving door, so making sure that federal regulators, in a lot of cases, have previously worked for the pesticide industry, so have a vested interest in those companies. They're really swaying the science, so funding scientific studies, contributing to universities or other institutions to make sure that the science that's put out is oftentimes not talking about the harms of these pesticides, and then also really creating some public-private partnerships. So creating groups that actually are backed by the pesticide industry while appearing as if they're an alliance of beekeepers or farmers. And so it's their undercover way of making it seem as if they're friends of bees and other pollinators while actually doing everything in their power to stop us from placing restrictions on the pesticides that we know would help to bring back these vital populations.
And so is the science in question still? I mean, I thought that it was fairly documented that neonicotinoids are responsible. Is the pesticide industry using the tactics of the tobacco industry and the climate denial, sort of folks to suggest that, well, it's still an open question. We need more research.
Absolutely. So this report builds off of a report we released 2 years ago called Follow the Honey, which talks about the tactics that pesticide industry is using, which are right out of the tobacco industry playbook. So they're saying that the science isn't there, that it's every other factor, climate change, loss of habitat, diseases, pests. They really like to say that it is the Varroa mite that is causing bee decline. What they don't say is that there's thousands of studies that have been published that document the fact that neonicotinoid pesticides are a leading contributor to bee declines, and we have to do something about them right now, that taking immediate action to restrict their use would help to bring back our bee populations. They also, you know, like to do everything to sort of make us think that if we should just look the other way, that their pesticides aren't part of the problem. So what they don't say is that when their pesticides are used, it weakens and delays the bee's immune system and makes them more susceptible to pests such as the varroa mite. So it's absolutely necessary that our federal regulators listen to the body of science that's out there and not just the pesticide industry to take action to protect bees, our environment, and the health of the American public.
How much of this problem is partly because we have fewer and fewer companies that are producing these pesticides? It's sort of a monopoly or close to a monopoly, just a handful of companies that are producing these pesticides, and so they get to kind of set industry standards?
That's something we talk about in the report. So right now there are six big pesticide companies that control the majority of the market. However, they're looking to merge. So we're looking at potentially having the six big pesticide companies become the big three. So Bayer and Monsanto are considering merging. Dow and DuPont are considering a merger. And ChemChina and Syngenta are considering a merger. So if that happened, those companies would control 65% of the pesticide market and 61% of the seed market, which would further exacerbate this problem and make it very hard for farmers and consumers to have a variety of options, and would just increase their power in terms of the, you know, lobbying, the revolving door, increasing these public-private partnerships to really halt any sort of pesticide restrictions that the general public is calling for and that science is saying we need to take action.
And just to state the obvious, it is worth actually saying out clearly the reason we care about bees is not just because it's nice to have bees in our ecology, but because without bees, food production for the human species is hugely threatened. So without bees, it's really hard to have crops being pollinated. It's really hard to have food production. So obviously, this is an issue of food security on a huge scale, on a national, on an international scale. What has the government, the federal government specifically, tried to do about this? Because presumably, this is something that is bothering the White House.
Right. So, I mean, bees are essential to our agricultural system and agricultural economy. They provide one in every three bites of food we eat and contribute over $217 billion to our world economy and $20 billion to our U.S. economy. So they're really, really essential to healthy ecosystems. And without them, we would lose a lot of the delicious and nutritious foods we have on our plate every day. The Obama administration has recognized that pollinators are important. Several years ago, they put out a presidential memorandum, which created a task force of all of the federal agencies to work together to develop a strategy to protect pollinators. What came out of that was that EPA placed a moratorium on new uses of neonicotinoids, but that doesn't address uses on the market right now. It also urged and had EPA develop what they're calling pollinator protection plans. So they're asking each state to develop their own pollinator protection plan. However, as our report documents, these pollinator protection plans are doing very little to actually protect bees or place restrictions on pesticides. So it's really a lot of distraction as instead of real action to help and take make sure that there's actually restrictions on pesticides that are on the market right now. In order to help to protect bees.
Wouldn't the simplest thing to do be simply phase out neonicotinoid pesticides and either, you know, push to get greater, you know, market share, if you will, to use the market speak, for organic foods that don't rely on pesticides, or just simply switch to pesticides that we know don't harm bees? Isn't that the obvious answer?
That seems like such a simple answer, and it is something that we should be doing. So we know there's studies, thousands, hundreds of studies out there that show that organic agriculture supports 50% more pollinator species.
Wow.
So it's good for the environment, it's good for pollinators, it's good for all of us.
It's good for our health, because it's nice to not have to eat pesticides.
Absolutely. And so our federal government, USDA and EPA, should be incentivizing and prioritizing organic agriculture. And it's really important that we're pushing for those policies on the federal level, because otherwise we're not going to have an environment and an ecosystem that's going to continue to support pollinators or a healthy, robust agricultural system.
It's interesting. The pesticide industry reminds me a little bit of the fossil fuel industry, you know, an industry that has its profits based on a premise that if they continue, will basically kill off, you know, most of us or threaten our own existence. And that, you know, they'll be able to squeeze profits till the very end, until they themselves can't squeeze any more profits out. If the pesticide industry has its way, the bees will die off, and then there will be no crops to spray pesticide on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing we're doing right now is that June 13th to 22nd, we're organizing a tour called the Keep the Hives Alive Tour.
Right.
So beekeepers are traveling from South Dakota to Washington, D.C. with a truckload of 2.5 million dead bees to demonstrate the fact that they're losing a really unsustainable number. That's just one beekeeper's loss last year. Hmm. And they're stopping at farms and apiaries in cities in South Dakota, Minnesota, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and working to bring and lift up the stories of farmers and beekeepers that are not using these pesticides, and demonstrating that there is an alternative agricultural system that isn't reliant on these pesticides that can help to support pollinators and really keep the hives alive. So what we're finding on this tour is that farmers, beekeepers, local change makers are creating this alternative system, and we need to adopt this, you know, really have a holistic paradigm shift across the U.S. so that we're moving agriculture into a new direction that isn't reliant on pesticides, that is going to help us heal the soil, make sure that we're protecting our waters, our environment, that's really going to last us for a long time.
Well, Tiffany, I don't know if this is kind of a stupid question, but why don't our farmers, why doesn't the agricultural industry simply say, we're not going to buy these pesticides anymore because they're killing off the bees that our industry relies on to pollinate our foods?
Well, the pesticide industry works really hard to build relationships with farmers and promise them that their pesticides are necessary to increase their crop yields. It's also really hard for farmers to find seeds that are not coated in pesticides. So because of the monopoly of the pesticide and seed market that we talked about earlier, it's becoming harder and harder for farmers to have access to uncoated seeds or to realize that there are necessarily alternatives. So it's a slow transition farmer to farmer farmers start to move away from these pesticides and see that their crop yields are the same, if not higher in a lot of cases, from not using these pesticides. I think we're slowly starting to see this shift. But it's going to take us a little while to really start to re-transition away from the reliance that some farmers do have on these pesticides.
And of course, in the meantime, it might be too late if we drag our feet long enough. Finally, give out information where people can either join the tour that we were mentioning or simply even download the report Buzzkill that we've been discussing.
Sure. So to download the report, you just go to friendsoftheearth.foe.org/beeaction, BEEACTION. And you can download the report there, see a blog article we wrote with a shortened version of the report. And to join the tour, all you have to do is go to Facebook/ Keep Hives Alive. And you can also find us on Twitter at Keep Hives Alive. And you can get all of the details about the upcoming stops. There's a tour stop in Pennsylvania tomorrow, a stop in front of Bayer headquarters on Monday, and then a big EPA rally on June 22nd in Washington, D.C.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us. We'll post links to those websites on our site later today, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Tiffany Fink-Haynes is the Food Futures Campaigner with Friends of the Earth and co-author of the report we've been discussing, Buzzkill, How the Pesticide Industry is Clipping the Wings of Bee Protection Efforts Across the U.S. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.